relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
If you thought 2016 was important, 2020 is going to be the greatest, most significant election of your lifetime. As a result, we've created a unique additional podcast with our regular guest in studio, former special assistant to President Trump, Boris Epstein. It's called The Battle for 1600. Join us today by subscribing to the podcast for free. Just look for my name, Boris Epstein, and The Battle for 1600.
Our fathers brought forth upon this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
The world will little note or long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
I can hear you. The rest of the world hears you. And the people... And the people who knock these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
And we will make America great again.
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
All right, my friends, it's official. It is official. There will be a transition from the Trump administration to the, is it Biden-Harris? Harris-Biden. Not a formal concession speech as such, but the incumbent 45th president of the United States, a man I am honored to be associated with, Donald John Trump, has released a video where he says the transition is happening. Let's share that video with you. If you hadn't seen it, video cut one, Eric Plickert.
I'd like to begin by addressing the heinous attack on the United States Capitol. Like all Americans, I am outraged by the violence, lawlessness, and mayhem. I immediately deployed the National Guard and federal law enforcement to secure the building and expel the intruders. America is and must always be a nation of law and order. The demonstrators who infiltrated the Capitol have defiled the seat of American democracy. To those who engage in the acts of violence and destruction, you do not represent our country. And to those who broke the law, you will pay. We have just been through an intense election and emotions are high, but now tempers must be cooled and calm restored. We must get on with the business of America. My campaign vigorously pursued every legal avenue to contest the election results. My only goal was to ensure the integrity of the vote. In so doing, I was fighting to defend American democracy. I continue to strongly believe that we must reform our election laws to verify the identity and eligibility of all voters and to ensure faith and confidence in all future elections. Now Congress has certified the results. A new administration will be inaugurated on January 20th. My focus now turns to ensuring a smooth, orderly, and seamless transition of power. This moment calls for healing and reconciliation. 2020 has been a challenging time for our people. A menacing pandemic has upended the lives of our citizens, isolated millions in their homes, damaged our economy, and claimed countless lives. Defeating this pandemic and rebuilding the greatest economy on earth will require all of us working together. It will require a renewed emphasis on the civic values of patriotism, faith, charity, community, and family. We must revitalize the sacred bonds of love and loyalty that bind us together as one national family. To the citizens of our country, serving as your president has been the honor of my lifetime. And to all of my wonderful supporters, I know you are disappointed, but I also want you to know that our incredible journey is only just beginning. Thank you, God bless you, and God bless America.
At 12 o'clock on January 20th, a senile old man called Joe Biden will become the 46th president of the United States. I don't know how long for, given his health and the plans of Nancy and Kamala and everybody else, but that is now a fact. However, it's not as bad as it may seem, and I will explain today. For the next 3 hours, with special guests, with you, my dear callers, and my analysis, I'll tell you how it's not as catastrophic as many would have you believe. But we have to understand the situation we will be entering into, and that is now easier to do because Beijing Biden has announced his full cabinet, and you need to know who will be running the country, at least officially. First things first, the Attorney General for the Biden cabinet will be Judge Merrick Garland. Do you remember that name? Yes, he was the judge that Obama nominated to the Supreme Court following the death of that legal titan, Justice Antonin Scalia. But he never made it to the Supreme Court. Now, as a runner-up prize, he will be the Attorney General, a man who was appointed to the Circuit Court by Bill Clinton. And you'll see a lot of this. This is not a fresh bench. There are no big thinkers here. It is mostly old Democrat retreads. Secretary of State, the chief diplomat, will be Antony Blinken, a man who is the son of another Clinton appointee, the former ambassador to Hungary when I lived there. Ambassador Blinken, another old retread. Now his son, who's been advising Beijing Biden for many years now, will be the chief diplomat. What do you need to know about him? If it's bad for America, he likes it. Whether it was the TTP, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, whether it's the Paris Climate Accords, or the World Health Organization, or most significantly of all, the disastrous JCPOA Iran deal, Tony, as his friends call him, has been an advocate for all of them, and we can expect those to be put back in place or an attempt to be made as soon as the new cabinet is sworn in. Secretary of Defense, the man who runs the Pentagon, is a retired four-star general, an African-American by the name of Lloyd Austin, who is famous for one thing, really. He didn't think ISIS was a big deal. And when he was the commander for the Middle East, for military operations in the Middle East, he said, not a big deal. Like the Obama JV team moniker, this is a man who missed perhaps one of the biggest threats we've ever faced in the region. And additionally, for all those who, you know, understand that the Democrats are there for the little man, he is also, until recently, a board member of Raytheon. Yes, that massive beltway bandit, defense sector contractor, Raytheon is where he used to hang his hat. Secretary of the Treasury, Janet Yellen, former Federal Reserve chairwoman. Secretary of Homeland Security. Now, this is a fascinating one. Alejandro Mayorkas. Who is Alejandro Mayorkas? He was born in Cuba, and he worked in the Obama administration as deputy for the Department of Homeland Security. But what he's really famous for, perfect for a Biden administration, is he lobbied the Clinton administration for clemency on behalf of a convicted cocaine trafficker while he was a U.S. attorney in Los Angeles. He allegedly, additionally, helped Hillary Clinton's brother, Tony Rodham, obtain visas for wealthy Chinese business partners. A perfect man to run the department that is in charge of immigration. Secretary of Health and Human Services, Javier Becerra. Oh, what did Biden call him? Baccarat or something like that. I couldn't even pronounce his cabinet member's name. Former congressman from Los Angeles. Huge champion of abortion and Medicare for all. And then I think we have time for one more. We will discuss the Secretary of Commerce, Gina Raimondo. Former governor of Rhode Island, Gina, another champion of the little guy, formerly worked at a venture capital company associated with Bain Capital. Do you see how little the swamp is? Who was Bain Capital? Ah, yes, Romney. You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. And what do you need to know about the woman who ran Rhode Island? When she ran it, Forbes, ranked it as the worst state in America to do business. And she will be the Secretary of Commerce. So, guys, it's not even a B team. It's a D or an E or an F team. No big minds, no serious people. So it could be worse. And I'll continue to explain why it's always darkest before the dawn. Here on America First with me, Sebastian Gorka, on the Salem Radio Network, coming to you live from the ReliefActor.com studios. Next, your favorite, Trish Regan. Don't touch that dial.
On the side of the U.S. Constitution, America First.
3 hours of analysis, monologues, calls, amazing guests, but also breaking news. The Democrats are drafting articles of impeachment. What's the date today? What is it? 8th, right? That means we have 12 days till the inauguration. True sheer insanity. Let's talk to somebody who cuts through the craziness, the propaganda, and the hyperbole. One of your absolute favorites. She is the host of Trish Intel, the podcast. Go to trishintel.com. Follow her on Twitter, Trish_Regan. Trish, happy new year and welcome back to America First.
Happy New Year, Seb. Good to talk to you.
Wow, that sounds, you sound heavy. You sound burdened.
My stomach's been sort of in knots for the last few days. This has been a rough go of it. And news that you just shared. I mean, look, the country's in a really bad spot right now, and I have a lot of concerns.
All right. Can I just ask you? I promise you, Trish. Maybe. This will be the last time I ask you this question, because I just do not understand the markets. So we have two things you need to help us understand. Number one, the jobs figures, very, 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 very disappointing. But in the meantime, despite everything happening on Capitol Hill and the siege of the Senate and everything else, the stock market was rallying. So please just help.
I know. It's like, wait a second, guys. Are you not watching TV? I know. But you know what's crazy about it all? And the S&P is still higher today. The Nasdaq's still higher. The Dow's leveled off a little bit. It's trading almost flat. But what's crazy about it, Seb, is people are so like, oh, well, good, because if Georgia did go blue, that means we've got tons of stimulus on the way. They're going to print money like there's no tomorrow, and that's going to be really beneficial to the markets in the near term.
But are they so selfish and so short-sighted they don't understand what stimulus does to an economy, Trish?
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, stimulus is going to – it's got to result in fundamental real growth, right?
Yes.
So right now, you can throw money at a problem, but if you don't actually fix the underlying problem, which means the lack of economic activity, then it doesn't matter how much you throw at this. In fact, if anything, it's going to create inflationary pressures, which are going to come back to haunt us in the long run. But I look at this, and I'm frustrated. I mean, investors are, they're in it for the here and now. I get it, right? It's smart to be in this market, because where else are you going to make money, for goodness sakes? I mean, you're certainly not going to make it if you put it in your bank account and hope for, you know, a lousy, you know, few percentage, tenths of a percentage point on your CD, your certificate of deposit. So people are left without many other choices. So, yes, I get it. They're putting the money in the market now because they expect all this stimulus. But I'll tell you, Seb, the stimulus better work. I have my doubts, because I do not believe you can print your way to prosperity. I believe we need to open up our economy again. We need businesses to go back to doing what they did, and you need an active consumer. I mean, there's a Credit Suisse analyst, very respected guy, Jonathan Golub, and I wrote about this on TrishIntel.com today, who's saying, forget about valuation. Stimulus means valuation tools are out of style, effectively. The typical things that you would use, right, to value a stock and say, is this company really worth it? Well, the markets are trading at such high valuations that he's saying you can't even look at that anymore. It's something else entirely. And he's pointing out the obvious, which is if they're going to throw this much money at everything, then you will see these inflationary pressures in the market. And not to get too wonky on everyone, but think about it. I mean, if markets are priced in U.S. dollars, and the value of the U.S. dollar goes down, 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 it takes that many more U.S. dollars to really be worth something.
Right?
So that's the inflation that you're seeing in the market. And the question is, it happens. I mean, I lived through this in 2000. I went through it in 2008. We've been very lucky. I mean, I look at what happened with coronavirus, and I could have told you the market was oversold. I did tell you, actually, the market was oversold back then, because we still had fundamental reasons for economic growth. We don't really have those. I mean, no. They're just going to hand out checks and they're going to close down businesses.
So what's going to happen when we have a new president sworn in? He's already intimated that he's going to have a mandatory 100-day mask regulation across America. That doesn't bode well at all, does it, for the concept that businesses must be reopened, Trish?
No, but this is where, and this is why Credit Suisse, the analyst, is saying this. He's making the point, and I tend to agree with this. If we are able to reopen successfully, all right, you might have a lot of pent-up demand. You'll have a lot of people,
yes,
not a lot of money, too, right, because they get all these government checks. I worry that you're not going to see employment levels at the place that we want and need them, because a lot of people will be disincentivized, frankly, from going back to work. If you can make that much money off government stimulus, why bother going and washing dishes?
Right.
I mean, so there's that aspect, the moral hazard aspect to all of this that economists like to talk about. But nonetheless, you might see people, once they, you know, they feel safe and businesses reopen, there's going to be a lot of pent-up demand. That's what we saw this summer, right, when things finally started opening up again, because people were like, yeah, get me out of here. I want to get out of the house. I want to go on vacation. I want to go do stuff. It's a delicate balance right now, Seth. That's what I would say.
I just went through most of the cabinet, most of the Biden cabinet, and everybody is a retread. Everybody's a Clintonista. Everybody has been in politics for 20, 30 years. These are not the people I would choose in extraordinary circumstances, would you?
Well, look, my bias is very economically driven. And so I love having people that come from a business background,
right,
as opposed to people that come from, you know, a Washington background. And I just love, you know, I'd love to see people that have worked as CEOs and have really had to do something, or small business owners in there. I worry sometimes. It's the same, my concerns about the Fed, right? You have all these academics instead of people that have worked in the real world. You need people that have that tangible experience with business and the economy, that hands-on experience, to really be helping to orchestrate this going forward. So sure, I have a lot of concerns. My fear here is that the policy is going to be very progressive, which means you're not going to have enough in the way of you know, the individual. I would love to see taxes lowered, right, for individual business owners, for small business owners, for the individual. To me, that incentivizes people to go and work harder and do more. Instead, you're going to have the reverse, Seb. You're going to have lots of handouts, which effectively disincentivize. Yeah. And so it's just not the right approach, in my view. I hope to goodness they're able to pull it off, because if these valuations on the market, if they don't, we're going to have real problems.
There's a reason that when a businessman became president, America's economy grew to the largest it had ever been in our history. That is one of the legacies of Donald J. Trump. If you want common sense and truth on the way ahead, especially when it comes to your prosperity, you have to follow this woman, Trish_Regan, on Twitter, TrishIntel.com, and the Trish Intel Podcast. God bless, Trish. Back after these messages. This year marks 20 years since America's darkest day, September the 11th, 2001. And the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been supporting America's frontline heroes ever since. When a first responder or military service member doesn't come home and young children are left behind, Tunnel to Towers pays off their mortgage to lift the financial burden and bring their family stability. For catastrophically injured veterans and first responders, Tunnel to Towers builds mortgage-free smart homes, enabling our most severely injured heroes to live more independent lives. Our nation's heroes, people who are willing to die for you and me, need your help. Join Tunnel to Towers on their mission to do good and help these heroes. Donate $11 a month at T2T.org. That's the letter T, the number 2, and the letter T.org. That's T2T.org. Thank you.
America First.
Can you believe it? They are saying that they don't agree with America First. How do you say that?
Magnificent.
How do you say that? But, you know, it's fun, and we love that line from the president, because it's the name of our show, America First. But that is the Biden strategy. He said it. No more America First. That's bad. That's bad. That's bad. Well, then, what should it be, Sleepy Creepy? Should it be China first? Should it be Vanuatu first? Who's first? Somebody in the real world, Joe. Someone is always first. Shit, insanity. It's Friday, which means we're going to talk guns. We're going to talk national security, Second Amendment issues. We are going to call her who wants to ask me about a gun. We're going to discuss that. But I want to share with you why I'm such a proud owner of Carr Firearms Weapons. We interviewed Justin Moon. His family escaped from North Korea. He came here in college. He revolutionized the gun industry when he designed his polymer-framed K9 pocket pistol, and they've become a massive, massive, incredible company. KAHR.com, the U.S.-based firearms manufacturer who's in this fight for America with all of us here at America First. Carr makes patented high-quality pocket pistols at the best prices. If you're looking for a handgun, you have to go to KAHR.com today. That's KAHR.com. Okay, we have some very special guests today, but we've got a absolutely full call board. I don't know how that happens when I don't even mention the phone number. I'm going to take one call right now that I'm very trepidatious of taking, because if the description of the contents of the call are correct, and I trust Eric, I'm going to have some difficulty with a good friend of mine. But let's go. Brent, Los Angeles, line one.
Yes, my dear friend and great patriot Gorka. I cry that so many citizens demand to burn down our shining city on a hill. And President Trump, from my way of thinking, is today a wartime president. America has been attacked with a virtual Valley Forge, Fort Sumter, Pearl Harbor, and 9/11. And when freedom, liberty, and democracy are being tricked into tyranny, and our sublime Constitution is being used to impose slavery, the Union is standing again at the high ground of Gettysburg on Seminary Ridge. before we are finally forced to surrender to CCP power at Mao's gunpoint, our righteous President Trump must legally, legitimately, and constitutionally crush the American Confederacy with the Insurrection Act that Abraham Lincoln used to save our country.
I disagree. I think you would destroy America, Brent. I think you'd destroy America.
We're being driven into communism. We're walking quietly and peacefully into communism.
I'm going to take some time today, and this is one of the things that we're going to discuss with Jim Carafano, with John Solomon, one of the most sober and truth-committed individuals I know. But it's not, this isn't the invasion of the shores of America. This isn't they've taken over and installed a dictator. Look at the fact that Nancy Pelosi barely became Speaker of the House again on Sunday. Barely. She barely scraped in. There was a woman who had been diagnosed 6 days ago, Brent, with COVID, who she had to have come to the floor of the House to vote for her because her margin was so slim. Even after Georgia, it's a tie-break situation in the Senate. So when they try to do stuff that's really crazy, we think of the left as a block. And yes, they follow collectivist concepts, but they're not all crazy, especially in the Senate. And if you come from a state that is not full of crazies, but you've got a D behind your name, you are not going to subscribe to making Puerto Rico a state. You can't, for your own personal survival, you can't vote yes on legalizing all the tens of millions of illegal immigrants in America. So, Brent, I understand where you're coming from, but the idea that the president, in the last few days before the inauguration, after he conceded, we played you the audio, he conceded. He said there will be a peaceful transition. Now, to use the Insurrection Act, remember one thing and one thing alone. The greatest loss of American life ever wasn't the Battle of the Bulge, wasn't in Vietnam. It was here on American soil when Americans murdered and killed each other. And I don't want to see that again, but I will die for this nation. But now is not the right time. But thank you, Brent. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network, coming to you from the ReliefFactor.com studios. I'm deadly serious about this, guys. If you're suffering today, if you've tried everything else and it's all failed you, please try Relief Factor. I had a lower back pain issue that had plagued me for 9 years, almost a decade. I took Relief Factor. 2 weeks later, I was pain-free. That was 2 years ago, and I'm still pain-free. And that's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans across the country. It's the experience of Deborah in Massachusetts, who says this: I just started taking Relief Factor 4 days ago. My hip pain is gone. I had a horrible time sleeping because of the pain. I absolutely love how I'm feeling. Thank you, Relief Factor. That could be you. Relief Factor could work for you like it works for me, Deborah, and thousands of your fellow Americans. And it's so easy to find out how. Go to ReliefFactor.com. Order the 3-week quick starter pack. Take it morning and night like I do. And I promise you, Dr. G's guarantee, you will know by the end of those 3 weeks if it works for you like it works for me, Deborah, and thousands of your fellow Americans. You can call them 800-500-8384 or go now to ReliefFactor.com. You owe it to yourself. ReliefFactor.com.
Portions of America First are brought to you by Carr Firearms.
Yes, indeed. We love our sponsors. Why? Because this is a free market enterprise. We don't take taxpayer money, and it's our sponsors that make these shows possible, including the great Mike Lindell,
What a great American. The inventor of My Pillow, the pillow that never loses shape, never gets hot, just cuddles your cranium through the night. 51 million sold. And because you're a friend of America First, Mike's giving you 60% off. Not $69.98, $29.98 for one of his pillows if you use my name. And he has so many other amazing things on his website. I mean, you name it. If it's about comfort and a good night's sleep, you got to go there. Call them on 800-829-8468. That's 800-829-8468. MyPillow.com. But you've got to use the promo code G-O-R-K-A. It's been far too long since we spoke to this friend of the show. He was very good to us, a loyal supporter of the Trump administration. And he is the president of ZOA, the Zionist Organization of America. Morton Klein, welcome back to America First.
Dr. Gorka, it's always great to be with a great patriotic American and great supporter of Israel, as you are. And whatever I have to say, by the way, much of it will be on ZOA.org. If any of your people want to look at it there.
Look at that pro. I was going to mention ZOA.org, and I didn't even have to. He just drops it in there like an old pro. Mort, your timing is perfect. You emailed us about a week ago, and I just spent the opening monologue of the show going through the cabinet because Biden has given us all the people he is going to nominate for his cabinet. And you have something to say about several of those people. So, Mort, what are you seeing in the names of the incoming Biden administration?
I have to tell you, every single appointment, whether it affects Israel or not, is someone who's hostile to Israel. Anthony Blinken, the Secretary of State, when the Democrats allowed Linda Sarsour, one of the great Jew haters and Israel haters in America, speak at the Democratic National Convention, there was an uproar. And there was such an uproar that Biden sent one of his people to apologize for having her speak. And then Anthony Blinken, the Secretary of State nominee, came to the Sarsour people, apologized to them, said, "We made a mistake. We're sorry. We never should have said anything negative about you." So she apologized to a major Jew hater, Israel hater. He also speaks at major anti-Israel conferences and calls these groups constructive forces, and they're monsters. They have Boycott Israel speakers. They're funded by Soros. And when it came to listing as a terrorist group, the IRGC, that's the Iranian terrorist group, he opposed it, even though this group helped plan 9/11, murdered hundreds of Americans in Iraq, funds, trains, and arms Hezbollah, Hamas, the PFLP, terrorist groups, and the group that murdered 100 Jews in Buenos Aires. So this is just one of the bad people. Avril Haines, the director of national intelligence, has signed anti-Israel letters demanding Israel should be criticized more, condemning Israel for violence, terrorism, and incitement, total lies, and saying the Democratic platform has to have more anti-Israel actions listed.
And the first one I listed was the Attorney General nominee, Merrick Garland. What can you tell us about Merrick Garland?
I assume he'd be okay. He's always listed as a moderate. I looked at the cases he was involved in. His decisions have repeatedly blocked or limited innocent Arab American victims of Palestinian Arab terrorism and Iranian terrorism from obtaining justice. For example, Esther Kleinman, an American school teacher who was murdered by the PLO in Israel, the family sued, and he said they have no right to sue as the PLO, even though we have laws on the books, recent laws, that say if a foreign entity receives U.S. assistance, as the Palestinians do, has offices in the U.S., as the Palestinians did, then they are liable under our laws. And yet he said they're not liable under our laws. And an Arab American, whose name is Asid Mohammed Rahim, he was captured in Jericho when he was visiting in that area. He was tortured and killed by the PLO. When the family sued, Merrick Garland said they have no standing, they can't sue. And there are many, many others. So even the Attorney General is somebody who has not been sympathetic to punishing terrorists, murderers of both American Jews and American non-Jews.
Now, I have said, because I've witnessed it firsthand, but with his decisions on Jerusalem, the embassy, it's clear for anyone that this is the most philo-Semitic president, the most pro-Israeli president since 1948 and the rebirth of Israel. What are your expectations as a result of everything you've just said when it comes to the successes of this administration when the Biden administration takes over, Mort?
Going to be a transformation in the attitude toward Israel. Donald Trump was the greatest friend Israel's ever had in the White House. Now we're going to have people who are hostile, including, by the way, the press secretary, Jen Psaki,
yes,
who publicly questioned Israel's commitment to peace, never questioned the Palestinian Authority's commitment to peace, and said Israel building in Jerusalem is poisoning the atmosphere. So I'm looking, unfortunately, I hope I'm wrong, enormous pressure on Israel to stop allowing Jews to live in Judea and Samaria, and to promote a Palestinian state, which will be a terrorist state. And also, there could be moves in the United Nations to have more resolutions against Israel that I'm afraid this Biden administration may not veto, just as Obama didn't veto vicious anti-Israel resolutions.
Well, I know one thing. I know one thing. When Biden was the vice president, our friends were treated like enemies, and our enemies were coddled. When we came into the White House and Donald Trump became the commander-in-chief, our enemies quaked, and some of them, like ISIS, were destroyed. You know what to expect in the next at least 2 years until the next election. We will be back to an age where our friends are shunned and our enemies are given comfort and succor. Somebody who's been telling us the truth and will continue to do so is our friend Mort Klein. Follow him on Twitter at MortonAKlein7 and follow and support his organization at ZOA.org. That's ZOA.org. God bless you, Mort. This is America First. Your calls here on 833-33-GORKA. That's 833-334-6752. But first, a question. How healthy are you? And are you healthy enough? And did you take your balance of nature today like I did? I hope so, because if you do, that's how you can be the healthiest you possible. Did you hear our interview with the great Dr. Douglas Howard yesterday, the inventor of this amazing product? You should. It's on our YouTube channel. He offered all of you 35% off and free shipping on your first preferred order. This is the product that when you take it gives you 10 servings, just 6 little capsules, 3 red for fruit, 3 green for vegetables, to give you 10 servings of 31 different fruits and vegetables. Wow. That's how healthy you can be. Order today, balanceofnature.com, promo code G-O-R-K-A, or call them on 800-246-8751. That number again, 800-246-8751, or balanceofnature.com. But for that massive discount, you've got to use the secret word, G-O-R-K-A. Back with your calls in a moment.
I'm angry. Yes, I am outraged. Yes, I have thought an awful lot about blowing up the White House.
You know, she had to read every single word of that. She had to look down. Yes, I am angry. Yes. Now, that's the side that wants unity. Unity. Let's come together. Madonna saying, I want to blow up the White House because Donald Trump is in it. One side has normalized violence, and it's not us. It's the Democrats. Let's go to your calls. Somebody's got a fascinating question. It's Second Amendment Friday. Al in California, line 4.
Sebastian?
Yes.
I'm glad you got over the COVID virus, that you gave the COVID virus the double tap.
Headshot with a chest shot, totally. I took it out.
Listen, I've got a couple of movies I want to bring your attention. But first, I asked you what was a good battle rifle in World War II. You mentioned the Lee Enfield, the Thompson, the MP44. A British guy fired the M1 and the 98 and the Enfield. He liked the M1 because you could fire extra rounds downrange without having to reacquire the target, even though it was kind of bulky and hard to load. Do you think the M1 was an efficacious rifle in its time period?
Oh, come on, come on, come on. General Patton said it was the most influential battle implement of World War II.
Probably so. Listen, some World War II movies we discussed before, but here's some new ones to see if you think they're any good. Starring the former president of the National Rifle Association, Charlton Heston, 55 Days at Peking.
Yes, that's a great one. I love that one, 55 Days in Peking, yes.
The next one is Fury, a tank movie. Now, I'm not a big
Fury,
fan of Brett.
I have to say, I was dubious. I was really dubious because I saw what's the pretty boy who was in it, who was in the lead, and then Shia LaBeouf. I have to say, Fury... It's tough to watch. I mean, it's visceral.
Right.
But I think it's a seriously good movie. Have you seen it?
Yes, I've seen it. It's very accurate. A lot of details, which I like with war movies, a lot of details. Like I say, I'm not a big fan of Brad Pitt's because I guess he's...
Brad Pitt, that's it. Yeah.
Right. And the other one is Greyhound, a Navy movie with Tom Hanks, which got messed up because of the COVID virus. I understand it got good reviews in terms of historicity.
I haven't seen that, but since I just watched the first hour, what was the Dan Brown book, Angels and Demons or whatever it was, The Da Vinci Code. I watched the first hour of The Da Vinci Code. Tom Hanks starred as the lead in that, and it was the most anti-Christian,
right,
bigoted, anti-Catholic and anti-Christian right movie I'd ever seen. It's sad, but these are the people who throw away their careers. I really can't watch anything with Tom Hanks again because he agreed to make such an anti-Christian movie. But Al, great questions, fun questions. I didn't even mention it, but it's Friday, which means it's Ask Dr. G Anything Friday, and he did, from the M1 Garand, which is the correct pronunciation, all the way to good movies. And Fury, not a bad one, not a bad one. 51 Days to Peking with Chuck Heston, also a classic. That's what we do on Friday. We talk about serious things, but we also have fun. We will be back with more in a moment. Don't touch that dial.